23. Now, what we've been doing is normally we pick a book of the Bible and just go verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And do you want to know what the next book we're doing is? Okay, we'll reveal that next week. We already got, it's down. It's being currently studied right now, but we decided to take a little bit of break and just, our culture has become so politically correct, it's actually silenced a lot of believers, you know, believers and people that choose to believe the Bible, they got you feeling like something's wrong with you. And which is absolutely not true, but when you got a bunch of people against you, but you know, the old Chinese proverb is still true. If 10,000 people believe a foolish thing, my friends, it is still a foolish thing. We're going to stand on God's word, no matter what even the majority says. We believe the Bible here. We believe what God's word says. And sometimes it even appears to be old-fashioned. But looking at our culture, I think everybody would admit, I think we need a couple doses of old-fashioned, right? We need a couple doses of the Bible. So I believe we can be saved, but you don't need to be soft. You don't need to be silent. And a lot of people, you know, just say, oh, I want to live my life. I just want to be a good example. And, you know, I don't want to open my mouth because I'm going to offend people. Jesus already said that the message of the gospel is offensive. Just make sure you don't offend them by being a, you know, a brickhead. Make sure if you offend people, it's because of the message you preach, right? And this is a little bit of a problem because Christians got a reputation of being haters, like that we hate groups of people. No, there's a lot of groups of people that don't line up with the Bible, but guys, there was a time when I didn't line up with the Bible. Right? And Jesus saved my life. So we can be lovers, and yet you do not have to disagree. But Christians are sitting back real quiet right now, like, oh, we better not say anything. Why? They're freely saying something. And so we sit back and just let it happen. The best thing we could do is open our mouths, proclaim the good news of the gospel, and we give truth and love. We love people. And dude, that's your choice. Girl, that's your choice. You can live any lifestyle you want to, and guess what? You'll reap the consequences of that, just like I reap the consequences of my decisions, right? It's that simple. So a lot of people have painted Christians right now as just, you know, we're like polecats, man. We're like we're skunks, man. We've been striped, and it's unfortunate. So we need to make sure that we love incredibly passionately, and yet we stand on truth, grace and truth. And gang, make sure you put your feet firm, planted on God's word, and we share what the Bible says, and it don't matter if the majority agrees. It don't matter. And we can also, you've got to have the ability to look over. You know, the worst thing in the world is when somebody's opinionated. I can deal with that. Everybody tells me I'm super opinionated. That's fine. The worst thing, though, is when somebody then says, because that's their opinion, they're going to enforce you to take that opinion. You can't do that. And we can't even do it with ours. I believe so strongly in the cause of the Bible and the gospel that if we would just proclaim it, Jesus said, if you'll lift me up, I will draw men to myself. And that's what we do, is lift Christ up. That's our job. Our job is not to shoot down causes. Our job is really to preach good news. Our job's not to even point out bad news all the time, but proclaim the good news. Jesus Christ still changes lives. That's the key to all of this. You think, man, the culture's gone crazy. Yeah, they can't think correctly. You know, they didn't grow up in a stable home. A lot of them now, it's postmodern Christianity. People don't grow up in church, so with no morality, you try to figure it out on your own. So if you're going to make up your morality based on a few textbooks and Netflix, you're going to be a little messed up, you know? Just a little messed up. So we need to understand that and to just proclaim the truth of the Bible. How many of us were messed up when we came to Christ? Messed up, addicted. I mean, just jacked up, and Jesus Christ entered in, and we started to grow and learn the Bible, and it began to wash our brains out. It began to clean us up. And that's exactly, if we believe in that message, then stick to that message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're saved, but let's stop being soft, right? We've been looking at 2 Samuel 23. It's a passage where David has mighty men of valor. These were extraordinary. These would be like probably what you would think of more like Navy SEALs when you think of the military. These were intense men that risked everything and for the greater cause, and here it was for the cause of David, which, and for us in the New Testament, it'd be our Christ. David was a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I want to do is take you to another guy. We've only got a few more weeks left of this. It's 2 Samuel chapter 23. There's a guy, and starting in verse 18. Now, when you're in this passage, you're going to find out, like we've already seen, there's three mighty men at the very beginning, starting in verse 8. And then he says, but there was 30 mighties, like a group of 30 men that were like, these guys were incredible soldiers too. And then there's even another, I think a third group, where it talks about that they were three of the 30, you know, and they were listed out too, starting with the guy we looked at, the three men that went to the well of Bethlehem. Remember, David, if I could only have a drink of water from the wells of Bethlehem. They snuck through enemy lines, right at the gate in the busyness of everything, got some water in their canteen, and I think it was a very violent act. They go back and they said, David, in honor for you, our leader, here's the water. This is from the well of Bethlehem. And David, in honor of the Lord, dumps it. He goes, I cannot drink this. And so he honors the Lord by pouring it out as an offering for him. Just a beautiful story. And so now I want you to see this guy in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 18. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. He lift up his spear against 300 and slew them, and had the name among three. Was he not most honorable of three? Therefore he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not unto the first three. Two verses on this guy, but if you look his name up, his name appears like 24 times in God's word. And so let's all of us pray in our hearts. God, teach us. Give me one thing out of your word today. Lord, change me. Draw me close. If God wants to reveal something in your life that don't belong, that that's all good too. But God, confirm. So be edified today. Be built up by God's word. Let's take this serious. Don't take this like it's a message that I put together. Take this today like God has something to say to you. He has something to say to me. And let's just glean from it, right? You know, if you look up Abishai, his name starts in 1 Samuel chapter 26. So from 1 Samuel chapter 26 clear to like 2 Samuel here towards the end, you're going to find that this guy had about a 40-year run with King David. I just think that's pretty incredible because we have a hard time getting people to stick here for 4 years, right? Get them to come to church for 4 weeks. Get him to come to church for 4 months, then 4 years. And this guy here, man, he was on a run with King David. And what a faithful man he was for about 40 years. As I looked up all 24 times his name appears, I came up with five things that I could find that distinctly would stick out. Usually I would say they stick out because it was mentioned one or two times, like sometimes three times. And you're like, wow, that's a great characteristic of this guy. So if you and me want to be saved and not soft, if we want to be the people that God called us to be in a culture that wants to make us soft, you know, masculinity right now is being destroyed in the culture. And man, we can't let that happen, especially our masculinity for God and his word, for righteousness, for the kingdom of God to go forward, right? Five things this guy had in his life, and I would like to point them out to you. So the first time you're going to find him is over in 1 Samuel chapter 26. So go back a book of the Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 26. And this is a passage where, do you remember, King Saul is jealous of David. So David and his warriors, they're like Robin Hood, man, and his group of thieves. They're hiding all the time, and Saul's trying to chase them down, and it's just weird. So we hit a spot in the story where Saul and his men are camped out, and they decide to go to bed. They're taking a nap, you know, and so David decides to go pay him a visit. So 1 Samuel chapter 26, starting in verse 6, it says this. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and here it is, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And without hesitation, Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. So Saul's sleeping, his men are around him, and David decides to go pay him a visit. What was David going to do? At this point, I do not know. We're going to read more of this story. You'll see how this kind of story unfolds. But I just love that David grabs a couple of his mighty men, and David's like, hey, guys, I'm going to break through their army, and I'm going to get around, and I'm going to pay Saul a visit. The guy that's been trying to kill you, he hates your guts. He's got all of his warriors sleeping with him. And you're going to go through, who will go with me? Abishai jumped immediately out of the lazy boy chair and said, I'm in. I want to go. First thing I want you to note about Abishai, he always answered the call. Always. He always seemed to want to jump up. David, I mean, before David could even get out, who will go with me? I mean, you know, he's like, David said, hey guys, who will go? Me! That's how the story unfolds. He goes, I'm in on this. You know, there's another passage that's very famous in the Bible among missionaries. It's Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. God has his people going distant from him. And God says he's looking for a man. And the Lord said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah stood up and says, here am I, Lord. Send me. The hard part about this story is God says they're hardened. They're not going to like you. You might be persecuted. Who's willing to go? Saul wants to kill you. The soldiers, they're not happy. They'll take any of your heads off if they can. And David says, who's willing to go with me? And Abishai said, that's me. I'm your man. I don't know if you realize this, but when Jesus Christ was getting ready to leave planet Earth, in Matthew chapter 28, 18 and 20, you can turn there if you want, because it's the first book of the New Testament, super easy to get to. Jesus Christ has a group of disciples. Now, guys, the context of this story is he just was taken down from the cross. They murdered him. He looked like hamburger up on the cross. Then they put him in a tomb. Of course, 3 days later, he came back to life. So they obviously, that's what the world thought of Jesus, right? And Jesus Christ goes to his disciples and he says this in Matthew 28, 18, 20. He goes, guys, first of all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. He tells them to go, to take this message to the world. Go ye therefore. You're going to preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So, slightly different, but Jesus Christ, the context is, they just killed him, and now he's just asking these guys, now I want you to risk something, and I want you to take the message of good news to the world. It slightly changes a little bit. Did you know in 1 Samuel, David is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and David's getting ready to go face the enemy, and David says, who will go with me? And Abishai said, I will. Who will go with King David? It's beautiful because it reminds me of Matthew 28, because it's not like Isaiah where Jesus is like, hey, who's going to go for us here? Who's going to take off? Who's going to stand against the nation of Israel even though they're rebellious against me? Who's going to go? I need somebody to go for me. Who's going to go? And it's a little bit different because basically Jesus Christ in Matthew 28 says, I want you to know something. I'll give you the power and I will never leave you. I am with you always. It reminds me of David just saying, Jesus saying, hey, who will go with me? That's the call, is he's not leaving you alone. It's still risky because he's not here. You're going to be the physical presence, right? And he's just saying, who's going to go to the world and give the gospel? And so my question for you today is, Abishai, even taking a risk, and man, this might not be pretty, who's going to go? I'll go. You know, one time I was a young guy on a missions trip. There were seven of us men. We were in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and we had to speak with translators, and I was just young. I've never done that before, and so I did all the training. I had my messages together, and, you know, they're just like, and I was the youngest guy on the trip, and so they're just like, you know, hey, guys, we need somebody to preach tonight for the first time, and you know, me, I was just like, you know, I'm like a junkyard dog, man. I was at the end of the chain. And the guy leading it just says, all right, Mike, let's just put you up first. You know, the bad news was, is I did very poorly. I got up. It's because I've never worked with a translator before. So he's over here, and I would just say, you know, I'm talking to these folks. I'm just talking, and there's like 200 people crammed into this small room, everybody's sitting on the floor, you know. And so I'm just giving the words, you know, and the translator keeps stopping me. He's like, hey, slow down, dude. I can't remember that much stuff. You know, so then I'd get to the point where I was just like, all right, man, you know, over here in Ephesians 5, you know, and then he'd stop me. He'd start translating, and it was so beautiful. I mean, their language, I'd never, like, heard it before, just rolling off his tongue. And I'd look at him, you know, I'm just, like, proud of him, like, hey, good job, dude. And he'd look at me, he's like, go ahead. This happened, like, a bunch of times. Like, it was so bad. I know I've told this story before, but when it ended, we had to get in the, I was supposed to go. They gave me, like, an hour and a half to speak because they added time on for translation. And these people, some of them walking 5 miles to get to church, so they had church all day. They didn't mind sitting there. But after an hour and a half, I ended my message in, like, a half hour. I was a wreck. I just remember getting in the van, and everybody that got onto the van, all the 7 guys and a few people we had with us, they were all tapping me on the shoulder, be like, dude, it's okay, Blake. We got 5 more churches to go to in the next week. You'll do better next time. That's what they were saying to me. But, you know, the only thing I could hold my hat on to was this. Yeah, I got all your guys' nerves out, too. I got mine and yours. But that I just thought, man, God, I'll answer the call. Sorry that wasn't so good. I stood once up at church camp years ago when I gave my life to Christ, and I gave my first testimony publicly ever at a campfire. And I'm going through puberty anyways. I'm still going through puberty. It's weird. But I stood up at the campfire, and I remember I was like, I wanted to cry because Jesus had moved inside of me. I didn't know how to put it into words, and so I just remember I stood up. I'm like, and the first thing that came out of my mouth was that awkward, and anybody that knows the rotary phones hanging up there, you're a teenager, you grab it, and you're like, oh. Dang it. And that's exactly what I did. I stood in front of everybody, and I was just like, oh. And the pastor's son was sitting next to me. He was laughing his head off at me. And, you know, of course, I'm giving a testimony how Jesus changed my life. And as soon as I sat down, I said, when this ends, I'm going to end you. I was so fired up. But you know what? Abishai answered the call. And gang, I just want to put out a simple call this morning. Who's going to go? You know, if you don't speak up at work, who will? If you don't speak up in your neighborhood, who's going to? And Abishai was willing to take that risk. And guys, this was dangerous. But you know, hey, what's faith about anyways? Everybody claims to have faith. Don't you have faith because you're like trusting somebody? Don't you have to be in a bad spot to be like, Lord, I'm trusting you here. I mean, most of us just like to sing a song about trusting the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord as you're sipping on your latte, watching Netflix, and reading your Bible at the same time, petting your cat. God, I'm just trusting you. And God's up there going, for what? What? What are you trusting him for? Yeah, most people never will take a risk. They'll never get a spot where they know it's time to speak, where they know they need to sit a group of people down or a person down. And I just want you to know, Abishai, he reminds me of a guy that was saved, but he wasn't soft at all. Did you know in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, after Jesus Christ, he's getting ready to ascend. It's that story. And you know what he tells everybody? He goes, guys, you're going to receive power. And when I put my spirit, see, Jesus is leaving. And when Jesus leaves, he's going to put his Holy Spirit inside. And so he's going to do that to the church. And he just says, and then how are you going to know you got God's power? Because you're going to be a witness. That's what you're going to do. And notice again, he's just not, it's not like, hey guys, I just wanted to ask you a question. I'm going to put my spirit inside of you and give a lot of power. And if it's convenient, or if you want to, you can speak for me. You can be the body of Christ. And guys, I'm just pleading with you and asking you, would you please serve me? Don't go down that way in the New Testament, you know? It's not like Isaiah, who's going to go for me? Who's going to go for us? You know, here am I, Lord, send me. No, Jesus said, I'll tell you what, when I'm going to leave, if you know me, I'm going to put my spirit inside of you. Now you've got my spirit inside of you, and he's basically saying, let's go. So Abishai answered the call, and I hope this morning that we feel that way too. So many people are waiting almost for God to like give a green light, you know? My mom bought this thing that it has a green light and a red light, and when you pull in the garage, you know, it's green. Then it goes to yellow, meaning slow down. And then it hits red, saying you're getting ready to drive through the back of the garage. Hit the brakes, right? A lot of people I've seen have those type of things. And but I got news for you. If that thing never hits red, like I personally would just recommend that you hit the brakes. Stop. A lot of people do that. It's a common problem, especially as people tend to get a little bit older. You know, you get a little bit jacked up. I know how that goes. I'm feeling it a little bit. So the bottom line is God already said go. Go. And I like what Irwin McManus says. He says, if I was you, I would go till God said no. Be obedient. Be like Abishai and answer the call. Yeah, but that's risky. And some of you might be like, man, I could get in trouble. Well, get in a little bit of trouble. Well, as a kid, I loved to get in trouble. So no joke, I was always getting in trouble. I was a nice kid. Like, my teachers liked me, but I always pushed them to the edge. I always did. And it was fun. And later, you had stories to tell everybody. It was, like, great. And then all of a sudden, you become a Christian and become an adult, and guess what? You cause no trouble. That guy's a square. He's straight as an arrow. Well, you know, the problem is you say he's straight as an arrow. He's the guy that likes to brag about having arrows and brag about all the guns he has, and he don't even hunt. He ain't never killed nothing his whole life. You know the whole purpose of those things? They're not just to flash around. You like that, people that do that, you know, they're always carrying, you know, they want to show you that wherever they're holding it at you. That's great, John Wayne. But, you know, this ain't Hollywood. You know, now you better be willing to use that. That's like the point of caring. You want people, men and women, that are trained and got that and they're ready to go on that thing. I think Abishai, you know what he did? He answered the call. Let's go, church. Let's go till God says no. Now, let me take this, a little twist on this. The second thing I'd like you to mark down about Abishai is he answered the call, but also other people chose him. The called chose him. So, like, he heard of the call, he would answer the call. But I want you to know, everybody around, when there was a fight going down, they called his cell phone every time. So that's the second thing you want to write down about Abishai. He was not so soft. He was not so soft where people would say, call Abishai. He'll come. Get him over here. And let me just prove that to you. If you're still in 1 Samuel, just go bump to the next book over, 2 Samuel chapter 18. David's listing a group of, look at 18, 1 and 2. David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab and a third part of the third part under the hand of, here he is, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah. So when David had groups of men, he says, man, we need a captain. We need a leader of these thousands of people. He named him one guy, and then right behind him, he said, oh, Abishai, of course. So not only did Abishai answer the call, he was also the one being called, right? People would call him. A question for you, just real practically, who calls your name? Okay, just say something's going down in your life and it's heavy. And you're like, man, I don't want a bunch of people knowing about this, but who can I call to pray? And if you would say, you know, I don't think anybody's ever called my name. Folks, that's a problem. That's a problem being a believer and your name's not being called. Now, I'm not saying we all got to be called for the same thing. We're all different, right? I get it. I'm not going to call everybody in here and say, hey, dude, I can't make it Monday night. Could you arm wrestle on my behalf? I'm not an arm wrestler. I get it, you know. But they called him. And in 1 Chronicles 11, it says, verse 20, it mentions it twice where they mention Abishai's name, and it says, and he had a name among the three. He had a name. Guys, see, he had a reputation. What's your reputation? And I'm talking about for Christ. I hope you're a good worker. I hope you're a nice lady. I hope all those things like can be said about you. And we should be kind. We should be a gentle people and be kind. But when it's time to stand up, I hope people in your presence feel like it's going to be okay. That you are like, you bring heaven to earth. in every situation. You're always bringing God's word in. You're always speaking that. You're always the woman, the man of faith in the room that says, hey, let's stop right now. This ain't nothing, man. God is so much bigger than this. I hope you have that kind of reputation that people would say, call Abishai, man. Would you call Mike? Call Mike. You know, I hope people feel they feel safe around you. And I think they knew that when Abishai was there, if somebody was going to jump up and there was going to be a fight, and you know, like there's the rule on the Yellowstone Ranch, right? When things start going down, Rip says, if you're going to fight anybody on the ranch, you're going to fight me, Abishai. And everybody was just like, he's serious. Yeah, he's dead serious. Right? Do you remember Acts chapter 6? You know, the church is exploding and they've got problems. There was widows being neglected. They're like, what do we do? And they're like, well, we need to choose us out 7 men. And I love the process. They said, told the church, look out amongst you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. It mentions it's the first deacons in the Bible. What I love about this passage is like everybody knew it. Yeah, that's the guy. That's them. That's him. They were known. You know why? You don't become a pastor when everybody says, okay, Reverend, you're now a pastor. Or you graduate a Bible school, you're a pastor. You're a pastor when people call you pastor. You're a leader when other people call you a leader. A lot of people are self-proclaimed leaders. They walk around acting like they're all that just because you're some renegade. And here's the good thing. As you're living your life, doing your own thing, act like you're some great woman or man of Christ, taking this journey, stop and look behind you. When there's nobody following, there's your clue. Nobody's following you. You're not a leader. Don't give yourself that title. Others give it to you. So first of all, Abishai answered the call. Second of all, others would call on him. And so my question for you is, do they call on you? When there's something to be done at the church or a work or a late night thing, Bob Barry years ago in our old church building when we used to get all that sewage in the basement, excuse me. We get all that sewage in the basement, and Bob Barry always would text out to all of us guys, and I hated this. It'd be 10 at night, and it'd say, all hands on deck. That's what he would say, and I'd be like, oh, no. I knew that. You know what that meant? I was going to be sucking poop, man, all night. And I didn't like it. But you know what? He put the, and it got to the point, you would walk in the building, you would know who was going to be there. And every once in a while, somebody would show up and work a little bit and say, hey, guys, I got to go, man, because I got to get to work. I got to get to bed. I got to work early in the morning. We always said, hey, dude, everybody's got to work early in the morning. You're not alone on this gig. But people know. People know who to call. I was taught years ago to always, why do I always call busy people when there's something to do? Because they're busy for a reason. She's busy for a reason. She's a worker. She gets it done. There was a deal that went years ago on a ministry event at a camp that was happening. I wasn't even really a part of this. And I got a phone call from this guy, and he says, hey, can you do bat, bat, bat? And I was like, sure, but I'm not going to be there. So my question is, why are you calling me? And, man, I felt good because he just said, because you're going to get it done. I was like, man, thanks for calling, man. That's awesome. So then I called the guy in charge of the camp and said, hey, you're going to get this done. You know, the third thing, I'm wrapping it up, man. There's 5 things. Here's the third thing. The third thing is simple, but I think it's pretty profound. You know, Abishai was not a normal guy. This guy, just mark it down. He not only answered the call, but people would call him. And the third thing we find out, this dude was a fighter. He was a fighter. You know, Jesus Christ, you know, a lot of times you see guys in the Bible do great things. Like Timothy, he was a young pastor, but man, he was soft. He was gentle. Paul all the time had to remind him that he was a soldier. All the time. Because he tended to be a little timid. And Paul just had to constantly affirm him. Timothy, you got it in you, dude. God's called you to do this. You're going to have to step up to the plate. I know you're scared. You know, it's like coaching baseball. For me, it was fast pitch softball. You had to coach and say, come on, sweetie, get up to the plate. And you'd put the line there. Be like, see that line right there? That's where you stand. The plate's over here. You'll be okay. And that ball would be clear on the outside. And she'd still turn and close her eyes and like, okay. And what was really bad is we had a pitching machine. And I'm like, man, that pitching machine is pretty accurate. You know, well, when I was out there against the other team, I'd find myself kicking that back leg a little bit, you know, like. But most of the time, it's pretty accurate. So sometimes I would have to just get him up there and just say, hey, stand here. Just stand right here. Of course, they're flinching. It's not going to hit you. It's not going to hit you. And you just have to build confidence. And we have to do that sometimes with people. But I want you to know, in 2 Samuel chapter 10, I don't want you to turn here. We're going to go to 2 Samuel 21. Everybody go to 2 Samuel 21. But in 2 Samuel chapter 10, it says the people, the Syrians put people in array. And so what happened, God's people put the Syrians, it said the Syrians fled before Abishai. Like a whole group of people. Like, you guys have all seen the movie Braveheart. It's kind of like when Mel Gibson come on and people are like, this might get a little crazy right now. You know, because he just had that reputation. Even the guys with him, the crazy guys. Remember that crazy guy that was always just laughing and giggling and just loved the adventure of it all? And this is, I think, Abishai had this kind of character that, the Syrians fled. In 1 Chronicles 18, it don't call them Syrians, it calls them Edomites. It said they slew the Edomites in the valley. You know how many people? 18,000. And it was put under Abishai's name. Like, this ain't no normal guy. I mean, you're talking about, yeah, well, he's a tough guy. Did you see he won last night in the octagon? Hey, that's great. A lot of people can pull that off that are skilled. This guy's rallying troops together, and he's hurting nations. Like, this is the type of guy he is. 2 Samuel chapter 21, it says that 21 and verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. David's getting old. Verse 16. And Ishbi-Nob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. David's obviously injured. It says in verse 17. Look who was next to David. But Abishai, the son of Zerah, secured him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Abishai said, man, this is my leader. This is David. And Abishai's not playing around. I don't care how big your sword is or how big you are. He killed him right on the spot. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. David was called the light of Israel. And Abishai was like, hey, guys, David can't go anymore. He's not the same man he used to be, you know. But what I love about Abishai is he's the fighter. Like, as soon as he seen his man David being wounded, Abishai said, that guy is not going to breathe another breath. This is what, he was a fighter. Now, some people look at fighters and they don't like them. They think, oh, that's bad. That she's rough. That guy's this guy. Come on, man. Jesus Christ. You know, the book of Jude in verse 3 says, there's a group of people that earnestly contended for the faith. Who's contending for the faith anymore? We need Christians to stand up. And just be like, I'm not going to lie, I got my feelings hurt. There was a group of pastors, and actually it was Bo that was at this particular spot. And they, you know what they said about me? And kind of hurt my feelings because I know some of these guys. And they just said, you know, Mike Blake, he's combative. Man, what I heard was, dude, you're difficult. Dude, you cause problems. Dude, you're toxic. I don't want to be that. Now, I do want to be not soft. I want to be known for contending for the faith, for standing on what I should. I mean, but in the midst of having my feelings hurt, the question I had to ask myself is, am I fighting the right fight? Am I fighting the right battles? You know, Ephesians 6 says, well, come on over here, church. Here's the armor of God. You know, and it gives you the helmet of salvation. Then you get the shield of faith, and it just puts all these. Why in God's name would Paul take a whole chapter and start working armor? Well, I got news for you. There's about to be a fight. That's why. There's about to be a fight. Young Timothy steps up to the scene, and Paul says, okay, Timothy, two things. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Endure hardness? What do you mean by that? Because it's hard. Ministry's hard. Guys, here's how you know you're living the Christian life. It's hard. It's hard because you go contrary to a lot of things and a lot of culture. You're not the most liked girl or guy in the office. That's hard because you want to be. Everybody wants to be liked. You just need to make sure you're fighting the right cause. You're contending for the faith. You're for the gospel. You're for what the Bible says, right? And I love, get yourself in a spot where you're a person of influence. Now, sometimes people ain't going to ask you a question. You might just be the low guy on the totem pole. Nobody cares what you think. Live your life in such a way where people are going to say, I don't know. What do you think about this? And then everybody gets quiet and looks at you, and you're like, and here is always my famous line. Hey, what do you think about this? Well, honestly, everybody's got opinions, and I got one too, and who cares what I think about this? I know you just asked me, but my opinion's like yours. Who cares? They're like armpits, right? Everybody's got a couple, and they never smell really great. What's God think about this? That's the voice we want. What's God's word say? Now the fight is on. It's on. He also tells Timothy, don't get entangled with the world because God's called you to be a good soldier. Guys, I want you to know this is what the world wants to do to you. With believers right now, he just entangles you. You're busy. You got so many activities. And people always just say, well, that's just the culture. And what am I going to do, tell my kid no? Yeah, that's a good plan. What do you mean? Like, what are you going to worry that your kid's not going to think you're the greatest dad ever? Just give him chocolate cake before bed. You'll be fine. I'm telling you. The whole point is we are called to soldier, but we got a cause, and it's God's word, and it's the message of Jesus Christ. Did you know the Bible says this? There's only one way to get to heaven. One way. Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one mediator between man and sin and a holy God. There's only one bridge. There's only one mediator. And we all know who that is. It's Jesus Christ. I hope you know him today. And the rest of us, we all know people that don't know Jesus. That's the fight we take on. That's the message we deliver. But what are they going to think of me? And I'll tell you what they're saying. They're going to say, oh my gosh, that it's so archaic, like to quote the Bible. And then just go Neanderthal on them. That's what I say. It's a fight worth fighting. Let's make sure, like Abishai, that we are known where people like, somebody would just say, oh, go get her. Oh, call her. You come into church, but hey, come here, I want to talk. Bring this guy over and just say, hey, tell him. Why do they do that? Abishai, they did it because they're like, he's a fighter. He'll come in, he'll straight up, you know. That's what we, guys, it's so funny. You love it. You walk in and tombstone, you know, what's he do? He walks in, Wyatt Earp walks in the place and says, and the guy's like, what are you looking at? He's like, you're sitting in my seat. We love the scene. The guy stands up and goes, oh, yeah, mister? And he's like, yeah. Open hand slaps him. The dude starts bleeding and goes, his lips starts quivering. He's like, well, you going to do something or just stand there and bleed? We love scenes like that. We get involved in movie. I love the football players. You love watching certain players that are just so aggressive, man. They're so intense. We love watching fighters that, like, that dude is dominant. Like, we like that thing. And all of a sudden, a Christian comes on the scene as a fighter and just says, oh, yeah, we're going to take the forces of darkness down. And people are like, he's nuts. That guy's nutty. The very characters you love in the movies, it's just a good, beautiful picture of in life what God wants you to be for him. And it don't mean you have to have big muscles, you know. We're not talking about that. But you do know how to sling a sword, man. You got to have the wet sword, man. It's got to be sharp, and you need to know God's word. I hope you're known for being a fighter. for the right causes. Don't be difficult. There's people in here you disagree with everything on purpose. You always want to start an argument. It's called marriage, isn't it? But whatever they say, you go opposite of that. No, we don't do that, but you do it with God's word. And you give the truth. And people can say, I don't believe that. And you can just say, that is your call. We're human beings. That's the beautiful thing about it. We all got choice, right? And just wait. When their child's in the hospital and you get to show up, and she'll say to you, would you please pray? Because they're just wondering. In this moment, I don't know how this is going to turn out, and I don't even know what I believe right now, but they know that you had a confidence and a belief in a God that you swore to all of them was so real that he had touched your life. You'll get to shine. Hey, let me give you the fourth thing. Not only was Abishai answered the call, they called on him. He was a fighter. He was more than just a fighter. Mark this word down. He was a finisher, man. He was like an Iowa wrestler, man. I'm not happy to get this thing done with points. I'm going to pin this guy. That's what they do. It's like watching the boys from Nebraska, man. Watching them over in Pennsylvania. There's just a few states out there. You get Oklahoma involved. Those four states right there, they're on the mat, and they don't want to just ride it on points. They don't have to. They're going to do everything to stick your blades to that mat so that what? Done. There's no question about this, man. You dominated. This is who he was. Abishai was a finisher. In church, we need more finishers. God has called you to do some things with your life. Finish. Jack and Joy Stevens, finishers, man, till the very end. And I promise you, if Joy could speak in that hospital room in her last 2 days that she was struggling, I know exactly what came out of her mouth. Everybody that knew him knew what would come out of her mouth. And she would be preaching the gospel. She would be giving people Jesus. Okay, 1 Samuel 26, I got a few passages and we'll move on. 1 Samuel chapter 26, this is Saul and David in the cave. I said we'd finish that story up, so let's finish it up. Verse 7, of course, David said, hey, who's going to go with me to go? I'm going to go visit Saul. And he says, I'm there. I want to go. Verse 8, then said Abishai to David, watch him, what he says. God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now, therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. He says, hey, David, I think he was going to take Saul's own spear, and he was going to stick Saul to the earth with it once. It'll only take once, because I'm a finisher. You know, it's the old Mortal Kombat game, don't you? The best part about it was when you got to the end, and they're like, finish him. Oh, I love that part. And back then, people were like, oh, man, that's violent. Why would they have that in video games? Man, that's child's play now. But back then, you'd be playing, and you'd whip a guy, and then all of a sudden, you'd get the privilege, and it would say, finish him. And I just, you got to chop this guy's head off or do something crazy. I'm like, man, you just didn't win. You get to finish him now, unless you didn't know the moves. You know, you had to learn a few things sometimes to get it all just right and to get the right finish. But notice he says, hey, David, let me kill him. Let's end this madness now. I would love to stick him to the ground. That's a little violent. That's a little bit rough. Guys, I know that sounds a little bit rough, but if you were in the middle of Baghdad and you had a choice of, like, you know, choosing who you want to be with him, I guarantee this man would be at the top of your list. People would say, he's a little crazy. And you'd say, I know. We need a little crazy right now. A guy that with no fear will take the risk and do what he needs to do. He's a finisher. Did you know in 2 Samuel 16, this is a beautiful story. This is the story where a man cursed David. They're walking along and a man curses King David. The man just starts cursing him. Well, it just so happened that Abishai was near. And it says in 16:9, look at this. Starting in verse 5. Look at verse 6. He cast stones at David and at the servants of the king David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. So they're around David protecting him. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, come out. thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. I mean, they're talking to David this way. You man of the devil, verse 8. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom by thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. I mean, they're talking to David pretty harsh. Look at verse 9. Then said Abishai, the son of Zerah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. This is Abishai, the same one that was with Saul in that cave. He says, David, let me stick him to the ground. We'll make artwork out of him right now. Then he's there, and this guy's cursing the Lord, and he's like, why does this dead dog talk this way? David, I pray you, let me just go cut his head clean off. He won't be able to speak anymore. And of course, David says, hey, dude, we want to be careful here. And David's like, I deserve much worse than this. And David kind of settled him down. But you can see the type of guy he was. He was the type of guy that just says, I'll do this and it'll only take once. I'm not playing around. And so I don't have time to make him suffer. I'll just clean take his head off. It'll be over very quick. This is who he was. Guys, he was a finisher. I just want to encourage everybody in this room that, let me just encourage you this. They say when you hit in your 40s, you know, all kinds of life brings changes, right? You're young and you're strong, and then you start getting a little bit of wisdom, figuring things out. Then you get in your 40s, and man, you don't start healing as quick. Things get weird, you know, you start getting injured. I'm like, man, how'd you do that? I was curling. I was just curling a lot of weight. No, I just picked it up and I pulled something. And then you get 50, and I can just testify of this because I'm into my young 50s. Things are not the same. I know I'm getting older. I know that there's certain things I can't do like I did. And like right now, you probably think, man, Mike's not a very good reader, is he? I usually am. I'm having a hard time seeing my words up here. So I'm reading like I'm in the fourth grade, and I don't read very many books. You know, that's just part of it, right? I get it. But I just want to encourage you, as you get older, sometimes we always say, well, somebody else needs to do the job. Well, good leaders don't just say somebody else needs to step up and do that. Good leaders put people in place. You know, we train people to do that. We don't just walk away. I've had my years of doing this. I'm over. I served my 10 years in there. Really? You're just going to give 10? This week we read in the book of Joshua chapter 14, Caleb was like 85 years old. And Caleb goes, hey, man, I need this land up here too. I want more land. And David's like, that's fine. And Caleb just said, hey, man, I'm 85, but I'm as strong as I used to be. And he goes, there's a bunch of giants up there. And, you know, I'm just going to kill all of them and take their houses. Joshua's like, that's yours, dude. As soon as I read that, I texted Bob and I said, hey, dude, we're getting old. Don't get old on me, man. We got to be 85 and just saying, God, we're going to give you credit if you would give us the strength of young men to continue this up. I do not. And I'll tell you, and I've had a lot of people tell me in my life that, you know, I've always been warned about this because of my personality. Dude, you're going to burn out, man. You're going to burn out. And you know what I've always said? That's the plan. My greatest fear is I don't want to rust out. I don't want to rust, man. Go look at a car. You're like, man, this is some fancy car. How long has it been on the lot? Man, this car here hasn't moved. It's a nice sports car. It sat here for the last 2.5 years. You know what they call that? Lot rot, baby. It's rusting out. You're probably going to have some seals replaced and do some different things. That thing was meant to go, man. And so, yeah, light me on fire and watch me burn. I'm planning on burning out. I want to finish well, and that's what I want to encourage you. Everybody in here over the age of 45, I'm not saying you're old. Please don't be offended by that. Kathy's not offended by that, are you? Don't be offended. If you're I just want to say you this. God is not done with you yet. You woke up and had breath this morning. I'm not saying you can do everything the same. I'm not saying you have to cut everybody's grass in the neighborhood. You're not capable of that. But one thing about, you know, Jack and Joy that we looked up here, man, I'll tell you what they did is even though they were retired from their career jobs, they never stopped. They never stopped for the cause of Christ. They still did whatever they could to be in church. Guys, the times that we've seen them in our church, was because at that time they were going to church in Galesburg and the roads were so bad, they gave an emergency warning out and said, don't travel the highways yet. So they came to our church. They still, it would have been so easy just to sit back and say, let's listen to the radio this morning. Let's watch the TV. There's a lot of things we could do. We'll even watch church. They didn't want to make, that wasn't what they wanted to do. And I liked a fighter in them because they were going to finish well. That's what they were going to do. And so I just want to encourage you. You're not done yet, man. We need you. We need you. Keep stepping up like it. Finish well. Don't be content just to say, we had a few good years. Do you remember that Bible study we did, man? When I said, that could still happen. You don't think that needs taught anymore? We're just, and some people would just say, I'm tired. Well, what do you do when you're tired? Ask Google, what do you do when you're tired? And you're welcome to say, well, when I'm tired, I just sleep. You think that's the answer? There's other solutions to that problem. Now, I'm not talking about 2 a.m. I would recommend getting good sleep for sure. But let's make sure we're not only fighters, but church, let's be finishers. What God's called you to do, the places you work, the neighbors you have, finish the job God's called you to do. There were times when I've had twice in my pastoring here where I've had job offers for ministry at other churches. And you know the one thing that kept me from not going? Wasn't finished. I could tell. I was just getting started. Now, it'd be different if there was a successor and we had trained up some good men and God was calling me and everybody's seen that. But that wasn't on the scene. And I knew that. And so I had to say, hey, before I say no, how much does this pay? No, that's not the question. I've not finished here. I can't move on to another job and not finish this one. Right? All contractors in the room would say, that's true. You've done that before. I have, and you spread yourself thin. You ready for the last one? This is the last one, and we'll end it. To not be soft, man. 5 things we find from Abishai. When I looked up another verse on him in 2 Samuel chapter 24, I just want you to know it says in 2 Samuel chapter 24 that 24, oh, no, it's chapter 2, sorry, 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 24, my bad. This is the guy where it says, look at verse 18, and there were 3 sons of Zeruiah, there's that guy, the father, right? Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. I've got to be careful how I say his name. And it says that Asahel, that guy, he was rough. He was as light of foot as a wild roe. He runs like a deer. So Abishai's brother ran like a deer. And so it says here, as they were pursuing Abner, he took off after him. And it says in verse 19, and this younger brother pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Like everywhere Abner went, he was like, because he's like a deer, man. This dude could run. And then all of a sudden it gets down in here, and it gets down to verse 21 says he would not turn from following. Verse 22, and Abner said again to I don't know how you say his name, sorry. Turn thee aside from following, whereof should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother? Howbeit he refused to turn aside, wherefore Abner with the hinder end of a spear smote him under the 5th rib, that the spear came out behind him. And so he was fast as a deer, but man, Abner put it right through him. And what I love about this part of the story is in verse 24, Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner. So, my point in point number 5 is this. Abishai wasn't the fastest guy out there. His brother was. When his brother died, the Bible says that Abishai pursued Abner. And you know why he pursued him, don't you? Because he's a finisher. He's a fighter. He was not going to go to bed with this guy living. I like this about this guy, but here's my 5th point. My 5th point is this. You don't have to be the fastest person. You got to be the best you that you can be. God's given you different personalities, even spiritual gifts. Be the best you. Execute you. One thing about Abishai's brother is what did he do well? He ran well. And he hawked this guy down. He had Abner running for his life to where he couldn't handle it anymore. So he finally stopped, and Abner's like, well, I'm tough. And he was obviously tougher than the fast guy. Everybody's got a piece and a part. I just want to encourage you this morning, quit comparing yourself to other people. I know that's easy to do. But I think this morning, you know, as I'm up here, there's some guy or some girl in the nursery right now, and they're wiping a kid's dirty hinder parts. I am thankful for those people. I'm not best at that. Well, who says they're the best at that? I'm the best butt wiper in the building. Well, you are when you're a parent of a little kid. But, you know, mom and dads get tired of doing it. Somebody's over there doing the job for them. Some of you needed to be in church today. Somebody's watching your kids and teaching them a Bible lesson. Ain't you thankful for them? You know, somebody put toilet paper in there. Somebody did it. Somebody made coffee. All those little things, I just think, you know what, let's quit comparing to each other. The question you need to ask yourself is, in your walk with the Lord, with the gifts, the abilities that you have, what do you offer the body of Christ? What do you bring? What spiritual gifts do you have? Then that's what you're supposed to execute. No, don't be like him. You don't have to be like her. We're all different. Quit comparing. You can't say that. You can't always say that. As a matter of fact, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, it says, quit comparing yourselves with each other because it's not wise. You're foolish to do that. You're foolish to do that. Don't be a fool, right? It even says in 2 Samuel 23 when Abishai, it was saying that he had a name and he was a leader, but we read this already, but it says, you know, he didn't attain into the first three. You know the first three mighty that's mentioned at the top of the list in 2 Samuel 23? It says, well, yeah, he had a name, but he didn't attain into the first three. Somebody'd say, Abishai, you didn't really get the recognition. You're not, like, you don't stand out like them first three. And you know what Abishai would have said? Who cares? You know? I'm not trying to be like those other three. And then he could start telling stories. You know, it was neat because God used me. I picked up my spear and I killed 300 people. 300 people. Isn't that crazy? God empowered me to do that. I couldn't do that. Then he mentions that whole nation. He goes, yeah, 18,000 of them, and they went down. Yeah, you know, and I remember that guy. He hurt King David, and I thought, he's never going to hurt my king. I killed that giant. And you don't hear the rest of it either. He pulled every one of his fingernails off and drilled holes through them and made a necklace because he's a finisher. And somebody says, hey, psycho, what's that around your neck? The fingernails of the guy that tried to kill the king. He's dead. I don't need to be like those other three. But I need to be me. I need to be who God called me to be. 1 Corinthians 12 says, when you're the body of Christ, can the eye say to the ear, you know, that's what the, can the ear look at the eye and say, hey, you don't hear very well, do you? Well, that's not what I'm supposed to do. You know, we got different parts of our church, and all of us, the question is just do your part. That's the whole point here. Be you, but make sure you're giving your, this is not about equal giving, folks, but it is about equal sacrifice. Some of you, husband and wives, both work and make great money. Yes, you should give a good amount of money. And there's somebody else here that maybe you're a single mom and you don't make very much money, and right now you're not working at all and you can hardly give any. Well, it's equal sacrifice. You give what you can, right? You give God first. We all give God first. Don't compare to what they give and he gives, she gives, and the time. There's this true story of a guy that was a pilot in World War II, and he actually got shot down. His plane got shot down, but he parachuted into enemy lines, was taken prisoner of war, and ended up getting freed. Years later, he's back in the U.S. He's older, sitting at a restaurant with a group of people around a table, and they're talking military talk. And this guy's talking some things that happened to him, and his waiter, a pretty old man, walks up and goes, I heard you talk about being a fighter in the military. And he goes, yes, I am. And he said, yeah, where did you fly out of? And he named the place, and the waiter said, because I was there, and I think we're probably the same age. And they started talking, and he looked at him, and he said, by chance, he said, do you remember this number? And the guy spouts off a number, and the dude gets up off of the table, and he salutes this waiter and hugs him. He says, my friend, I've prayed many a times for you. I was so thankful for the man that made my parachute and packed it. The waiter was a parachute packer. That guy would have been dead a long time ago. See, one guy was a fighter pilot. You're going to get the accolades and you're going to get the money, my friend. But what about the people that are in the kitchen cooking meals, filling these guys and gals with protein, keeping the barracks cleaned? What about the guy, the girl that's packing the chute saying, this has my name on it and it's going to save somebody's life? See, everybody's got a piece and a part, and we're all equally important. We all get it done, right? So guys, let's leave here today with five things on our mind from Abishai. We're not going to be soft. I'm tired of being soft. The first thing that Abishai had, he answered the call. Is God asking you to do something and you keep saying no because you are a chicken? I say be a chicken. I seen a video the other day, this chicken, man, he was tearing up this snake. Snake was trying to get these chicks, and man, this hen was pecking at this snake. I was like, yeah, be a chicken like that, you know? So first of all, answer the call. What are you afraid of? Take the risk. Be like Abishai. Jesus Christ came down. Jesus said, you're going to have much trouble in this world. Yeah, but people ain't going to like it. Yeah, they never do. Two, make sure others would call you. What's your reputation like? Walk with Jesus. Serve him with a passion, and people will call your name, man. You will be known. The third thing is he was a fighter. What kind of fight do you have in you? Guys, I'm not talking about fighting, and don't fight with, you know, every little thing and every little weird thing that's not right or done. No, I'm talking about being difficult. I'm talking about contending for the faith. We need to stand up for the correct teaching and doctrines of the Bible, and this is what the Word says. And when the world don't agree with it, that's fine. But I'll tell you right now, it don't mean that we can't fight. You fight over that stuff. Somebody needs to take a stand. And I've noticed usually when I take a stand in a difficult area, usually when I take a stand, other people, maybe it's not right on the spot, other people come back later and they're always just like, yeah, man, what you said, man, I agree with you. Yeah. You weren't bold enough to speak up in front of everybody, but you're speaking up now. You know why? Because you're a coward, dude. Don't be a coward. There's time to stand. The fourth thing is don't just fight, be a finisher. I kind of use this to just say in our age, he'd been with David 40-some years. I don't know how old he was, but let's be like Caleb. For those of you that are older in life, when I say older in your life, your kids are out of your home, and you're just that age, just remember this. Finish well. Be like a Jack and Joy. May you go out like that, man. Go out where people are speaking like, these people were drunk. These people were addicted, man. They were two addicts. They were addicted to the ministry. Let's be those people. The number five thing for our church and for all of us today is be the best you can be. Abishai wasn't, he didn't maybe line up at the top three guys, but it didn't matter. And some of you just say, well, I can't speak like her. Well, you're not her. Don't worry about it. Be you. The gifts and abilities God's given you. Stand up with it. Fight with those abilities. Some of you could fight in places where I couldn't even get in the door. I couldn't even get in the door. They were like, don't let this guy in here. He's a little slow. All right. But you can get in. And that's where you stand and you take the fight. You take the finish and you bring heaven to earth, man. You take God's word to planet earth. So guys, let's leave today all of us encouraged to be. We're saved. Just stop being soft. Just start standing with the word. Jesus, thank you for your word today. Lord, thank you for this church. Lord, all the people that you brought into the building. Lord, even the people that are watching online. God, I pray that your word would go deep and change us, mold us, make us into the people that you want us to be. God, we love you today, that you would die for us and give your life. Lord, the best thing that ever happened to us, Jesus, was when you entered in. Lord, forgive us today. Forgive us. Some of us have been too soft, been too weak, make too many excuses. So I pray today, Lord, that Holy Spirit, that you would light a fire inside of us that cannot be quenched anymore. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.